hails from Spooner, and he went out to Jersey for a bit this year to help out with the church, and then they went back to Spooner, and now he's been called to work in St. Paul. And what is the name of the fellowship there in St. Paul? Cornerstone Church there in St. Paul, and he has been on there a little over a month now, and he's going to introduce himself. We have a few slides so you can see his family and maybe just get to know him a little better here before he speaks. So, Joey, it's just a pleasure to have you. So, are you going to use this mic then?
I think I'm going to use that mic instead, guys. Right. I'm not used to all this earpiece stuff. Our church is pretty small and back in St. Paul. So, like Eric said, my name is Joey Richoff. I am now living in St. Paul, Minnesota. Up there, you can see my wife, Leanne. And if you go to the next slide, those are my four children. Henry is number three, Misha's number two, Rowan is number four, and Oscar's number one. Not in the order that I love them, but in the order that they were born. So, next slide. And this is just another picture I took just to share with you guys. You can kind of see their personalities a little bit more here. Oscar's a little bit silly. Misha and Henry are my compliant children. And Rowan has a mind of his own, if you can see him back there between the trees. Leanne and I think he's kind of crazier than the other three were combined. So, and then just sharing a little bit what I like to do, you know, being born and raised in Wisconsin, we like nature and wildlife, and I do some hunting and stuff, but most of what I do is photography. I like to shoot animals all year round, so that's what I do. Just give you guys a little bit of a background of me before I get started in the sermon, just so I'm not this strange guy up here. Born and raised in southern Wisconsin, and as I neared graduation of high school, I just felt like I wanted to go into overseas missions. And I checked with different mission agencies, and they all said, we want you to have some Bible training. So I said, all right, I'm going to do the bare minimum. I found a one-year Bible college out in Montana, and I got my little Bible certificate. But the Lord really started working on me that year and doing something in my heart, saying, no, I want you to be more prepared for the work I'm planning for you. And I went up to another Bible college up in Saskatchewan, Canada. The exchange rate was cheaper. So I did that, and just in my first year, I met the woman that would become my wife. And I decided to go get married instead of finishing a bachelor's or master's degree. So I only finished with an associate's degree in biblical studies. And Leanne and I got married, and we moved back to Wisconsin. And the plan was still overseas missions. And I looked into Greater Europe Mission. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them. They're based out of Colorado Springs. And we went out there, and we got accepted by Greater Europe Mission. But the Lord spoke very clearly to us, wait. And I didn't know why. I was just very frustrated. This is what I want to do, Lord, but he wanted me to wait. So the next 10 and a half years I spent as an artificial insemination technician on dairy farms in Wisconsin. And I bet you guys have never had a breeder preach here before. And some of you shook my hand this morning too. So 10 and a half years is a long time, but just a few years ago, I really felt the Lord working again very strongly in my heart. I want you to pursue pastoral ministry, not overseas missions, pastoral ministry. And I brought it to the elders of our church in Cornerstone, and they said, just wait, we're gonna see how the Lord develops this gift. And it was hard for a few years. You know, we're constantly praying, like, Lord, when are you going to provide us the right thing? And when am I going to get out of cow breeding? It was a very demanding job on my body and time and all this. And we have four kids, right? It's hard. And finally, the Lord opened up an opportunity with the ARC Church, well, now Table Fellowship Church in New Jersey. And we went out there December of 2016, and we tried it out. But you don't know, it's almost cross-cultural missions there, isn't it? Going from a town of 100 people in northern Wisconsin to metro New York area. And we were out there for 13 months and just felt it wasn't the right fit for us. And in faith, we moved back to Wisconsin, not knowing what I would do for work, not knowing where we would live. And in 2 months' time, the Lord opened up a door for me to pastor this Table Fellowship Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I just find it amazing how he works and how he brings people on different paths to what he's calling them to do. And each one of you guys have your own story, but this is my story. I've gone through the wilderness of cow breeding to New Jersey and then back to the Midwest, where he, I feel, is going to keep us for a while. So just give you guys a visual. I don't know how many of you have been west a little bit, but St. Paul is located there in Minnesota. And just to give you, I think I got a couple more slides of our church. Okay, so we actually don't meet in St. Paul. There's a city just north of us called Roseville, and we meet in a park building in Lexington Park in Roseville. I think I have one more slide. That's our gathering place. So that's the park building we rent out each Sunday just for a few hours to do our church service. And I think that's it, right, guys? Oh, our elders. If any of you have been to the Table Fellowship conferences before, Michael West, Mike Siglin, and Don Hansen, and myself are the elders at Cornerstone in St. Paul. And there's just a picture of our people worshiping. So that gives you a little background of me, so you know what you're getting into. If you would turn with me to Psalm 146. We'll probably be reading through this a couple times this morning because I like soaking up God's word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose help is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for another morning that we can come and gather and worship you. And Lord, I thank you for this church that I can come be a part of today and meet other brothers and sisters in faith and worship with them. Lord, I'm feeling inadequate this morning, and I'm tired after a long week and a move just last weekend. And Lord, I'm just feeling kind of empty. And I pray that you would speak to me and through me this morning. And I pray that we would leave here worshiping you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Psalm 146. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. How can the psalmist praise through everything? A lot of times we find in our flesh it's hard to praise God, isn't it? We have bad days, bad weeks, bad months, bad years. I was thinking of a friend of mine just recently who's been going through some hardships. It's a husband and wife. They've had some marriage difficulties the last few years. Their daughter is suffering an illness and she needs treatments every month, infusions. And right now they're battling the insurance company for over $100,000. They just had a grandchild born extremely early, like at 28 weeks, I believe it was. They've had both vehicles break down in the same amount of time. And to be honest, it's hard to praise God in all that, isn't it? We've all been through those seasons, and we find it in our flesh, it's hard to praise God. But the redeemed soul can always praise because it has been saved. Amen? Philippians 4, 4 through 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Familiar passage, right? But sometimes that's hard to put in practice, isn't it? It's hard. But what the world should say to us believers is, look at them. They're not freaking out, even though they're dealing with so much. There's something different about them. Their God must be pretty incredible for them to continue to praise him through all that. Verse 2 says, "I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." There's no limits to his praise, right? As long as he has his being, he's going to praise the Lord. That's what he's going to do. All right, I want everyone to take a breath. That was a gift from God, wasn't it? Every breath, have you ever thought of that? Every breath we have is a gift from God. Every breath we have, we should be able to praise God, because we didn't deserve that breath we just took. It's all a gift from him. The one who praises rightly is the one that keeps a heavenly perspective. This place is not my home. I'm just passing through. You ever thought of that? If we focus on where our home is, truly is, it's easier to continue praising God here, because we're only here for a little time, right? I was thinking of a story. My wife and I, on our honeymoon, we drove from Wisconsin all the way down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Yeah, when we got to Georgia, I'm like, all right, we're almost there. And Georgia's like 6 hours, and then Florida's like another 8. It's insane. But in Georgia, we stopped at this hotel. You know, Mr. Budget guy here, I found a $27 hotel. She was not very happy about it. But I just thought of that when I'm thinking of this. We had a 5-star hotel in Florida that we were going to. We can make it one night, right? There was literally a gecko on the wall when we were sleeping. But I was just thinking that that's just one night. We got this 5-star resort that we're going to be staying at for a week. And it's just like our lives here, right? Sometimes it's not the greatest thing. It's like a budget hotel in southern Georgia. But if we keep a heavenly perspective, right? We have a 5-star resort that we're going to forever. And that helps us get through these hard times. James 1:17, another familiar verse probably. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." Again, we need to be praising him as long as we live. Why? Because we've been redeemed, we've been saved, we've been shown mercy and grace. But the reality is, sometimes it is hard to keep our perspective focused properly. It's often tempting to put trust in things that we see. And the psalmist gives us that warning in verses 3 and 4. "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish." Think about our culture, church. We often praise actors, singers, athletes, politicians. And while there may be some inspiration or help, it doesn't last, does it? Just, I think especially in the political realm, everyone's hoping, oh, this is the one. This is the one that's going to bring change. It's just the same thing over and over. It doesn't last eternally. Men and women cannot offer eternal help. And this also reminds me of a story I heard once. There was a man struggling with his tithe. Right? We've all been there, right? It's hard. And he was talking to his pastor, and he was saying, I'm just struggling giving to the church with the tithe. I don't have enough money to pay the bills. And the pastor's encouraging him, you know, the Lord will provide, and I'm just having a hard time. And the pastor asked the man, if you tithe first, if you're short, I'll cover the difference. Would you be willing to do that? And the man agreed. And the pastor called him out, and he said, how quickly you are to trust me, but not the creator and the provider of all. And we've all been there, haven't we? We all think that we have more control, or we can't do it. I can trust him. I have a hard time trusting God sometimes. We often do this. Verse 4, when his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Just going through Genesis at the Table Fellowship Conference, and I'm reminded of Genesis 3:19. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Right? James 4:14 says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. In the eternal spectrum, church, that's what we are. But yet we focus so much on things here and try to put our trust in things here. We lose our eternal perspective. All right, Psalm 146, verse 5. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I just want to stop there for a second. What stood out to me when I was preparing this message, God of Jacob. And I looked it up, because I'm always thinking, well, you always hear about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, right? We've heard that. That phrase, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appears in Genesis and Exodus. And after that, only appears as God of Jacob. Now, maybe there's nothing there. I don't know. But my imagination started wondering why. And I checked commentaries. I checked with other pastors. And nobody really knew. But my speculation is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he was talking to individuals. He was building something through individuals. And afterwards, it says, God of Jacob, what's another name for Jacob? Israel. The God of Israel. All of a sudden, it wasn't a covenant to individuals, it was a covenant to a people. Does that make sense? Now, this is not in Scripture. I'm working through this, and I'm inviting you to work through it with me. But if I just think, this is the God that worked through individuals to become a God of a people. That makes sense. In Exodus 19, God makes a covenant with the people of Jacob as they gathered below Mount Sinai. And it says, while Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. He's making a covenant with a whole people, and he's telling them something. It's a reflection of what God's purpose was from the beginning. In Genesis 1, 27 and 28, he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God's purpose was saying, I made you in my image, now be fruitful and multiply, go have dominion, go spread my image over the whole earth. And we know what happened, right? They failed. But God is faithful, and he's still wanting to bring about his purpose. And he makes a covenant with a people. And he says, I want you to go out. I want you to be a kingdom of priests. They are to reflect God and his character to the world. Psalm 146, 6 through 9. I'll start back in verse 5. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Are we hearing something about the Lord? I think we can just stop a second and marvel over who God is. Not only is he the God who created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, which is incredible when we think about all the things out there, right? The beautiful landscapes, all the different animals, we can marvel at our Creator. But he's more than just that. He's the God who executes justice for the oppressed. He is the God that gives food to the hungry. He's the God that sets the prisoners free. He's the God that opens the eyes of the blind. He's the God that raises up those who are bowed down. He's the God that loves the righteous. He's the God that protects the strangers. He is the God that supports the fatherless and widow. The nation of Israel was commanded to reflect this character of God, and they failed. But as we keep reading the story of the Bible, there's one who reflected that image perfectly. Kids, who is it? Jesus. And all the scriptures were fulfilled in him, the true Israel. He saved and is leading a people, a nation of all peoples, into praise and righteousness. Have you guys ever thought of that? We think of Jesus as a teacher or a savior or a king, but do we ever think of him as our worship leader? He's the one that did it. He's the one that can bring a people into the throne room of God and worship him how they were created to. He's the one that is doing it. He's worshiping the Lord through obedience and praise. When we read this psalm, we are to think of it being fulfilled in Jesus Christ and how he is trustworthy, how he has saved us, and how he is leading us, his people, into praise. Do you guys remember on the road to Emmaus when Jesus appeared to the two men and he taught them all the things in the law and the prophets and the psalms about himself? It's all about him, isn't it, church? All of it. And we can read certain psalms like Psalm 22, and it says they divided his garments and cast lots, and we're like, oh, that's about Jesus. But they're all about Jesus. They're all pointing to him in some way. This psalm should cause us to worship the Lord through his Son. And now I want to read through Psalm 146 once more, but I want you guys to put your Jesus lenses on. Okay, so as we read this psalm, look at it through a Jesus lens. How is this psalm about him? How is it pointing to him? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose help is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. Is this ringing any bells when you think of the New Testament stories? The Lord sets the prisoners free. Think of the demon-possessed. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. If we are in Christ, verse 10 is a reminder to us. Do you know what Zion is? It's a city of the people of God, right? We are part of Zion. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 11 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." We're sojourners right now, aren't we, church? We're in that Georgia hotel. But think about it. We have a destination that we can put our trust and hope into. It's an eternal one. That's where our treasures lie. Are we going to praise the Lord? When we go through hard times, will we trust him? Is it hard? But what do we have to do? We have to focus on what he does give us because it's good. Right? And even though it might look hard from my perspective, it's good. And I always draw things back to me being a parent and my children. And from their perspective, some of what I do does not look good. And it's hard. And they don't want to do it. Right? We've all been their parents. But we know from the parent perspective, we're building something in them so that they can make it. And when we go through those hard times, God's doing something so we can make it. Right? I don't have this in my notes. I'm just thinking James 1, 2 through 4. "Count it all joy, my brothers, whenever you meet trials of many kinds, for the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness..." Forgetting it, but it talks about making you mature and complete, not lacking in anything. That's what God's doing while we're here, sojourning on this land. He's making us more like Christ so we can make it to the end. Will we reflect God's image and character like we see in verses 7 through 9? I have days where it's hard to reflect that image, right? Stressful times. I've just lived in three states in the last 4 months. I'm under a lot of stress. But that's not an excuse to reflect my Father. It's not an excuse not to make it. Why? Because he's given me the Holy Spirit. He said, "I'm sending you a helper. You're going to make it. You're going to be able to praise me." Will we point people to the only true and obedient Israelite, Jesus, so they can experience and marvel at his mercy and grace? Just hearing some of the testimonies this morning, it was very encouraging. Your church, you're not afraid to speak out. You're not afraid to stand in weird places and talk to people about Jesus, right? Is it Julie? I've done the same thing, right? I have a dog. His name is Tater. I don't really like dogs, but I'm the one that's stuck taking him for walks and going to the dog park and things like that. And a lot of times I would grumble about it. "Oh, I hate taking the dog out. I just want to sit down." But I was very humbled because the dog park in New Jersey, everyone lets their dogs run together and the adults just stand there and we watch our little children play, right? And it's a perfect opportunity to start talking to people. And we started having people coming into our home that I met at the dog park and introducing them to Jesus. And it came through my annoying dog, Tater. God used him to get me to a place where I wasn't afraid to talk to people about him. So even those little things that can annoy us or make us grumble along the way, the Lord can use those for his purposes. And it's very humbling and it's joyful to join in his work in building his kingdom, isn't it? What's that? The joy and the obligation. Yes, that's from the conference. All right. James 1:27 says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Widows and orphans. You can take that in a literal sense. You can also take that in a figurative sense, those who are weak. And that was all of us, wasn't it, before we met the Lord? The Lord wants us to go to the weak, the ones that are in need of Him. And that's the world. And we're supposed to worship Him in that way. I want to end this morning with a quote from Charles Spurgeon. I think it positions us rightly in praise and worship after considering this psalm. The quote is, "The Lord pours most into those who are most empty of self. Those who have the least of their own shall have the most of God's." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, and I pray that we all take it to heart and that we walk out of here a changed people. I pray that we would be excited and joyful to help join in your work of building your kingdom. Lord, I pray for this church and myself that we do not put trust in things of this earth because they're like a mist. They vanish. But Lord, I pray that we'd put our trust in you because your kingdom is eternal and you give us purpose. You're our creator. You're our God who loves us. And I'm just thinking of the God of Jacob. You're the God that makes a covenant with a people and you keep your word till the end. And Lord, I just pray that we would marvel at that you would show us that grace and you send us your Holy Spirit to be our helper. And Lord, help us make it to the end. Help us be obedient, but also praise you in the good times and the bad. In your name we pray, amen.